God's not dead. He's on the throne. He listens to prayers. And he wants to get a hold of our hearts, and people are dying right and left and going out in eternity. My God, man. And here we are, the last step, the last place. We're trying to get people in church. People, you know what? People think you're crazy when you're trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. They think you're crazy. They think you're radical. You're a radical. Man, the Muslims, they got radical. They kill each other. Kill people for being radical. But we're trying to get people life. Amen. We're not trying to give them death. We're trying to give them life. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I like that, being born of God. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you're in here tonight, you're saved. You're God's child. You hear what I said? If you're saved, you're God's child. You belong to God.
Amen.
And boy, I tell you what, we ought to act like God's children. Amen.
Yep.
We ought to represent him in a real way.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's saying, if you love God and you're saved, you'll love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you'll want to help them. You want to pray for them. A lot of Christians will take it, they'll just say, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you, and they never pray.
Right.
Never pray.
Amen.
They never. And, you know, I've learned something. A lot of times I forget, and I don't forget just on purpose. And you won't either. But if somebody says, will you pray, just send up a prayer right then. Stop right then. Or if you're walking, God help them, Lord. But I tell you what, the best thing to do is stop and say, Lord, God, I pray you'll save this brother or sister's family, and I pray you just get a hold of hearts so I don't forget, because you'll forget down the road.
Yep.
And we need to pray one for another. Amen. And I love the book of John, 1 John. I love this book. I know they'd say, well, it's tribulation. It doesn't account. Yes, it's got church age and tribulation in it. And I thank God for the book of John. I mean, when I first got saved and started reading this thing, when it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I thought, man, that's a good thing. Because you sin every day. You need to take a shower, and you need to get clean by the Father. Amen. And I'm saved as I'm ever going to be saved right now.
Amen.
But in this life, I get dirty. I'm talking about my mind, my heart. I get dirty and thinking the way I think and the way we act, we all do. And I got to get cleansed on a daily basis, not getting saved over and over and over and over again, but I got to get my mind and get in the Word of God and get clean. And I want to stay clean. I want to try to stay as clean as I can for his glory. You know why? Because when somebody calls and says, will you pray? I want to be able to be clean.
Yeah.
And when I want to have power in prayer. I want to have power. When I pray, I want to be able to get a hold of the throne of God. You know what the Bible says? Take your Bible, look in Hebrews chapter 4. Look in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, and look at verse, 15? I believe it is. Back up to verse 12 or 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So that right there shows you that when you got saved, God did an operation on you. God cut the soul loose from the flesh, and he divided. God is a divider. But he also unites when it comes to his children. When it comes to your family, the Bible tells you that the Lord said, you know, he's not willing to forsake father, mother, sister, and brother, and follow me. It's not worthy of me. But this word of God is quick and powerful as a sword, and it cuts you as well as it cut others. And the word of God, that's why when you read it in the morning, that's why we recommend reading the word of God, because it'll cut, and God starts doing some surgery on you. He starts, you know, cutting things out of your life that he don't want. He does surgery. But here, when you get saved, God does an operation on you. He protects the Holy Spirit of God's inside you, and your soul is saved, and your flesh is not saved yet. My soul's saved. My flesh is not saved. When I die, my flesh is going to go in the ground. Then that's why the Bible says when the Lord comes back, he's going to take the bodies out of the ground. He's going to change our vile bodies and fashion like on his glorious body. It's because it belongs to him. This body belongs to him. So that's why it's important what you do in the flesh, either honor him or dishonor him. And we're going to look at that. But the Bible says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, man, you ever read your Bible and you're thinking about something or you're praying about something and you read your Bible and boom, right there in front of you is the answer. And the Lord knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're thinking. And I was telling the kids the other day when we went out there to the, maybe I was telling them here, I don't remember who I was talking to, but we went out to the Creation Museum, and when they show you that the galaxy and what we're in and the moon and the stars and all that stuff, and then you see the whole universe and they show you a little dot over there on the side, which is the galaxy we live in, and you think, my God, he thinks about me, he cares about me. And he numbers the hair of my head. He knows to every cell in my body. We went to the doctors today, you know, because I had that scope and went down the stomach and all that. They wanted to see if there was any cancer and all that stuff. And I got celiac disease. And the doctor said, I can't eat any gluten. I must have inherited from my mother. My mother was sick near the end of her life. And she got, and that's what it was celiac. She had celiac. And I inherited it. So I can't eat any gluten. I can't even cheat. And I was trying to get him to say I could cheat because my wife was sitting there. And he said, no, you can't cheat. And I said, have you talked to each other? Have y'all called each other? And so I'm putting weight back on now. I'm starting to put weight back on for not eating gluten. And I promised her I wouldn't cheat. So anyway, let's go back to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. God knows the animals, man. You know, the Bible tells us that the animals will praise God when we get when the rapture takes place, or when the redemption of the church and the bodies. You know, the Bible says that animals are going to rejoice. I'll tell you something else. You know, the Bible says the trees are going to clap their hands when Jesus comes. Can you? I mean, they made that movie on, Wizard of Oz. Yeah. She's walking through that. It's almost like the Christian life. You're walking through there, and it's all spooky, and you're in the valley of the shadow of death, and the tree goes, hey. And the Bible says that we are like trees. And you got a family tree, and we write down a family tree. You're like trees. You can be a tree good for firewood, or you be a tree that bear fruit. Amen. I don't want to be a tree for firewood. Yeah. I don't want to be cut down and thrown in fire. Amen. I want to be a tree that bear fruit.
Yeah, amen.
When Jesus walked by that tree, you know what they had to do if that tree didn't bear no more fruit? They cut it down. Woo! Messaging that. Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Right.
Everything, ain't nobody hiding nothing. You know, I've had Christians say, well, what if so-and-so is getting away with something? I say, ain't getting away with nothing. They don't have to answer to me. They don't have to answer to you. They ain't going to get away with nothing. Not with God. Because the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. So it depends on who you want to sow and what you want to sow. And look on down. It says, verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ our high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold on, baby. Hold on. Hold fast your profession. The best thing you have in this life besides salvation is your testimony.
Amen.
The best thing you have to try to see people saved is your testimony. If the people say, oh, that guy claims to be a Christian, he's a crook.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy claims to be a Christian, listen to him cuss.
That's right.
That guy claims he's a Christian, look what he's drinking.
Yeah.
That guy claims he's a Christian, he's selling drugs. That guy claims he's a Christian. He's shacked up with some woman.
Yeah.
Hold fast your profession.
Amen.
You better hold on to it. You think, well, it don't make no difference. It don't make no difference. Yeah, it does. We won't see no fruit in your life if you don't have a good profession.
Amen.
People say, what are you checking us out? Yeah, I'm a fruit inspector. The Lord is.
Yep.
For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Bible says that Jesus Christ can be touched. When you go to him and you cry out to him, he can be touched. You can touch him. Touch the hem of his garment. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come what? Come on now. Let us come what?
Holy.
Onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, I see my brothers and sisters all over the place. I see them in I could cause. I seen a brother riding by today. He's smoking a cigarette, messing with some girl. He got saved here. He's back into messing with drugs. He's my brother. He said, wait, did you pull him over and wreck him and drag him out of the car and punch him in the mouth? No. I prayed for him. Pray, Lord, help him. Help him to get back to where he should be. If he's never been there, help him to get there. It says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Dr. Rum used to always say this. He said, man, you better have grounds to pray on. And he said, here's what I'm saying. You better have grounds to pray on. He said, if you're trying to do right, like Hezekiah said, Lord, I've tried to do what's right.
Yeah.
And Isaiah came and said, get your house in order, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And the Bible says he turned his face to the wall and started weeping and said, Lord, I tried to do what's right. I've tried to, you know, and you read Hezekiah's life, and that's Old Testament now.
Yeah.
And you read his life, man, it shook the throne of God.
Yeah.
And before Isaiah even got out of the palace, the Lord said, go back and tell him I've added 15 more years to his life. Woo! You're talking about getting a hold of God. That's getting a hold of God. Now he raised a son that was a rebellious one. Anyway, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. For this we know. All the way through the book of John, you'll find no. You know. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved now, right now. Not after I die. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved now. It says, this we know, that we love the children of God. And when we love God and keep his commandments, this is the love of God. Now, you're thinking about the Ten Commandments. Everybody think about the Ten Commandments. It's God. There's a lot of commandments in the Bible. Jesus gave commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. And you'll keep my commands. He said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this is commandment. His commandments are not what?
Grievous.
Come on now. What is it?
Grievous.
It's not grievous. It's not hard.
Amen.
It's not hard. People make it hard.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. If you're living a double life, it's hard.
Amen. Yeah. That's right, preacher. Amen.
You live a double life, it's hard. You say, man, it's just hard. It seems like it's just hard to live for God. Quit your whining. Take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson, till you quit your whining and stop your complaining. It's not hard to live for God. It really isn't, especially when he supplies all that you need. He supplies. He gives you the armament. He gives you everything that you need. He says, okay. Now, he doesn't do it for you. I mean, he doesn't wake you up, all right, put your helmet on. I'll put it on for you like a mother do with a two-year-old.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do that. If you love me, you'll keep my commands.
Amen.
He says, all right. You know, you expect more out of a child of God that's been saved for a long time. And God's not going to make you sit up and then say, okay, let's put your helmet on. Okay, put your breastplate on. Okay, make sure you read your Bible. You know what we have to do with little kids? Make sure you read your Bible. Read your Bible. Like my wife, my grandsons came over this morning. We're reading the Bible. And my wife says, have you boys read your Bible? That's Gavin and Eli. Have you read your Bible this morning? And they said, no, Mama. She goes, well, sit down. Read your Bible. So they sat down and she said, read it out loud so I can hear you. So they read it out loud. He said, well, they're going to hate reading the Bible. Well, right now, while they're young, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. So you train. It's training. You got to train yourself to read the Word of God. You got to train yourself to spend time with God. It's a training process. Now let's look on down. Verse 4. It says, for who is whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. So a Christian is supposed to be an overcomer. You're not supposed to be overcome. You know, some people say, well, I'm just overcome by this. You know, I'm just wore out. We're not supposed to get overcome by the world. We're not supposed to be overcome and by other things. I know a lot of Christians got to take breaks. They got to say, I've got to take a break from church. I'm just overwhelmed. And I'm overwhelmed. I realize people get overwhelmed with things. But when you spend time with the Lord, what do? You go back, you get recharged, you get strengthened, you come back and say, okay, let me have wisdom how to deal with this thing. And if you don't read your Bible, spend time with the Lord, I know, folks, I'm a pastor. Like I said, these folks I talked to on the phone yesterday, they wore me out. I had to pray. I just had to pray. I come home, I told my wife, I said, man, whew. Yeah, I got to go out and tear up something to make me feel better. Amen. But, it's what I got to do is spend time in prayer. And I got to pray with them. And you know what? I'm not mad at them. No way. I'm not mad at the brethren, sisters. I'm not mad at them. I was just trying to help them. But it seemed like it's like a little child always asking you the same question over and over and over and over. And they just don't get it. I said, look, here's what the Bible says. After a while, you're like, But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. Do you have any victories in your life? Do you have any victories? You ought to have some victories. If you're not having some victories, there's something wrong. You need to go back to basics. You need to learn how to put your armor on again. You need to learn all those things. If you're not having victories, you know, the greatest thing, if you can fall in love with the Lord, if you can just fall in love with him, fellowship with him, then all the things that the world beats on you, you'll just be in love with him. You'll be saying, okay, look, this ain't going to get to me. I'm a victor. I'm going to overcome this thing. And what happens to most Christians, they get overcome. And what they do, they go back drinking, smoking. They go back, like Simon Peter, to what they know before. Rather than saying, Lord, help.
That's right, amen. Right.
You say, have you done that? Yeah, God, help me. I need your help.
Amen.
He's right there. Now, I'm not trying to be disrespectful yelling at him. I'm just saying, help, Lord.
Amen.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. People tell me, so you don't know how hard it is to overcome this, overcome that. Come on, man. I know. It says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what?
Amen.
That's why the battle is raging.
Amen.
The devil doesn't want your faith to grow.
Right.
He doesn't want you to get stronger. The Bible tells us in Peter, it says, grow in grace and faith. Grow. The way you grow, the Word of God. If you got to read it out loud, I've had people tell me, preacher, I just don't understand the book. I said, look, man, come on. I couldn't read. I couldn't understand. I said to myself, ain't no way I'm going to understand the thing. And I'd go, God, help me. This is a spiritual book. I'm your child. This is your book that you wrote for me.
Amen.
Guess what? It starts coming together.
Amen.
It starts fitting together. You go, oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget to thank him when he shows you something. I'm going to ask you, I've had scripture jump out the page on me. You say, what do you mean? You'll know when it happens. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
jumps out of the page. It's like smacks you in the face. You go, woo. You go, man, that thing's alive. That book moves. I remember Dr. Rubin said he put it on the table at night, put a light on it. He'd wake up in the middle of the night to see if it moved. That book, no, this book, the Bible says God, the Word of God is a discerner of your thoughts, intents of your heart. This book is alive, folks. This is not a dead book. This is not the Quran.
Amen.
This is not an NIV.
Right.
This book is alive.
Amen.
It's not Buddha's sayings.
Right.
All that junk is dead.
Amen.
This book's alive. We don't spend enough time in it.
Amen.
It says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And boy, I'll tell you what, the more your belief in Jesus Christ in this book, your faith starts growing rapidly and rapidly. The more belief, you know what Jesus said? He couldn't do many mighty miracles in his hometown because of what? Unbelief. And what happens to young people in a Bible-believing church is they don't have a relationship with the Lord on their own. They're riding off mom and daddy's foot, you know, or pants tail, whatever, skirt tail, whatever they're riding. He's talking about Carl. Carl said, no, I'm going to be in church. Carl evidently reads his Bible on his own. And you say, well, you know, the pressure of this world, the sin out there is so, I mean, it's on us adults, man.
Amen.
And you know what you're fighting.
Yep. Amen, preacher.
Can you imagine what a young person's fighting with hormones and everything and all that stuff? God have mercy, you need to pray for them.
Amen.
And that, man, I want to see him victorious.
Amen.
Overcoming the world. And who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. As this is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, even Jesus Christ, not by water only. You say, is that baptism? No, it's talking about a physical birth and his spirit. Is he that come by water and blood. Look at verse 7. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Look at verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. So whenever a Church of Christ or Presbyterian or Catholic, and whenever they see water in the Bible, they think baptism. It ain't baptism.
That's right.
Not baptism. Look with me to John chapter 3. Look at John chapter 3. Go to not 1 John, but St. John. St. John 3. Whenever somebody sees water, they think baptism, and it ain't baptism at all. It's talking about a physical birth. You were born of water. Look what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He's talking to a religious man, a very religious man. There was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1, John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that cometh from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except that God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time his mother's womb and be born? Most of y'all in here know this. This is elementary to you. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, cannot see enter into the kingdom of God. I had a Pentecostal tell me, see there, you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. No, I said, no, look at the next verse.
Keep reading.
The Bible is a self-interpreter.
Right.
It interprets itself. That which is born in the flesh is flesh, water birth.
Right.
When you were born, your mother's water broke. And out you came.
Yep.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, saying to you, you must be born again. So he tells a religious man, religious Pharisee, it's a physical birth and then there's a spiritual birth. If you're not born twice, you die twice.
Right.
According to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 20. This is elementary to everybody here. We've heard it so many times. But look here. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. And look at verse 14. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. And this is the what?
Second death.
So if a man is not saved, right now, if a man's not saved and he dies, he goes to hell. He's in hell. And the Catholic Church made up purgatory. And they say that they went to purgatory. We can pray, get him out, as long as you got, you know, enough money to do it. We can have the Pope and everybody pray. But that's a lie. But the guy is put in hell, and he's in a holding place. Hell is still burning. But say why? Because he's going to come up to the judgment one day. When I was in in and out of county jails, and I had to go to court. And when I finally got sentenced, I went to the big house. Zach knows about the big house, right? He works in the big house. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the big house. Anyway, we'll stop right there.